Moving to Cornerstone Church has gone very smoothly. So praise the Lord. It's fantastic. How many has been there? The new premise Cornerstone. Yeah, look around these hands. It's a wonderful place. Praise God. We thank God for them. We are building good relationship. Last Wednesday, I think we had about 35 people. 25 was it? It was a really good turnout. I think some left and came and so on. But including also from them. Cornerstone also joined us in our prayer, as also others. And Daryl preached very fiery. Was it hot chili message on Elijah? That was good. And that will continue on. This week, I've preached on Elijah. I think out of seven, I think I only covered about 2.3 points. So this week, next week, we'll cover the rest and then study on the life of Elijah. Everybody say fire! Fire! So when you think about Elijah, that's what you think of, yeah? Real fiery man, and that's the spirit that God will pour out in the last days upon you and me, so we can restore, you know, all things into the proper order before Jesus' glorious return. All right, and tonight, this afternoon after the church also, there will be discipleship training. Today, Frederick is looking away. He's leading the group discussion. And Shireen, so welcome everyone. I think so far it's going really well, right? I think, you know, Aaron told me that it's going really well. So I just got to believe Aaron's word because she's the leader. She'll probably say all the good things. But I'm sure it's going well. I think it's really, really fantastic. It's a life of the kingdom, foundation truth for Christian life is happening wonderfully. All right. GI leadership meeting is on next Tuesday. And then once again, after two Sundays, I'll be going off to Indonesia myself. And please pray. I think there's a lot of preparations that is happening there. I'm not going to share a whole lot of, how it started, but it was the Lord. Yeah, quite a lot of pastors are praying and waiting. So please pray that God will just use this occasion to unite the churches in Indonesia, strengthen them, okay, and to heal and encourage the pastors there. I think how many? It's about 440, six cities, and one city twice or something like that, and plus Solo, that's eight. Anyway, so if you can pray for them, pray for God's rain in Indonesia, that God will use this time. It'll be wonderful. All right. There are a few. How many remember Pastor Don Campoy from Philippines? Yeah, the man who sings with guitar and who was outcast, literally living off the street. Got a polio, so physically very much weak, broken person, but God is using him mightily. He came and spoke, was it last year? I think it was last year. He's coming again this year. When I am in Indonesia, he's coming over to Australia. So I think it's on the website. Pray for that day as well, that he will speak prophetically. 25th of August, Jill Southern is also coming from LL, China and Southeast Asia director. So he will share on Sunday morning here on the 9 tests of Joseph. Oh, that sounds great. And then 1:30, there is another event. You need to register. 1:30, freedom from fear. So if you are struggling with fear of any kind, which most of us do, this is the one seminar that you can actually, you got to register. And then it will be free. I think there will be free will offering will be taken for that seminar as well. And then Pastor Abednego will be, I'll tell you a bit more about that later, from Indonesia, also coming the following month to share with us. Dr. Baruch Coleman is coming again on 24th of August in the city. You can register. Do I need to add anything, Christian? No. So you go to Derek Prince Ministry website and you can register there. How is the registration going so far? It's good. It's going well. So if you haven't, you love his teaching last year, you know, he's coming here again, so register for that for the August. I think that's about it, yeah? Fantastic. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Love the children. Love children running around with a flag. Let's pray for the children. Why don't we do that? Let's bless them. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless our children. Can I get... Also, we're going to pray for the children's ministry as well, children as well. I'm going to pick on somebody to pray. Who's got the heart for the children? Christine, can you come and pray for the children? Yeah. In fact, you're a teacher. So I pray for, Lord, we bless Christine and all the teachers, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you bless them. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will just touch them, fill them with your spirit each and every time in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We pray for children. Let's bless their children.
Father God, we uplift our children unto you, Father God. From the little babies, Father God, unto the time, Father God, that they are away from, they are married and away from home, Father God. For each and every child, Father God, they belong to you, Father God. Lord, we put a hedge of protection upon them, Father God. And I pray, Father, that you give them a deeper revelation of who you are, Lord. Amen. We pray in the name of Jesus that this church will put the foundation of who Jesus is into their lives, Father God, and who they are in Christ, in Jesus' name. I pray, Father God, let them know who they are in you, Lord. And we pray, Father God, let there be never any identity crisis in the children Amen. Who belongs to this church, Amen. Father God. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will move, Father God. Move in them, Father God. And Father God, raise them up, Father Hallelujah. God, for kingdom builders and the history Hallelujah. Makers, Father God. In for your kingdom, Father God. Yes. We cover them by the precious blood of Jesus. Yes. And we decree and declare all the children belongs to you Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Christine. That was a wonderful prayer. You know, while we were singing, I had this idea. We should actually, during worship time, have a children's song yes. and sing yes. children's song. And they can come out here and then lead us. And all the adults should do all the action. What do you think?
Yeah.
Do you think it's a God idea?
Yes.
It's a God idea? Yeah. I think it would be great, yeah? I'm looking at Josh and Sunny, you know. It's a challenge from the church. You guys can take it up. Okay, now, vision number 12, to bring in the harvest of the nations. All right, we're almost there. Not many weeks from now on, we'll be done with the vision messages. But let's read again, GI vision statement. 1, 2, 3, we are an end time church, house of prayer, bride of Christ in preparation, in intimacy, character and power to stand with Israel and to bring in the harvest of the nations for Jesus' glorious return. Let's read it one more time.
We are an end time church, house of prayer, blood of Christ in preparation, in intimacy, character and power to stand with Israel and to bring in the harvest of the nations for Jesus' glorious return.
Amen. So today, we are looking at this phrase, to bring in, 2 weeks we looked at to stand with Israel. We're going to look at the bring in the harvest of the nations. This is our vision. This is also God's vision. And, you know, Jesus said in one of his teachings, harvest is the end of the age. Let's read it. Together, I just want to focus on that. When Jesus taught in parable, this is one of the major parables that Jesus taught on the end time. And he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed, he's explaining everybody knows the story of the four kinds of field and the sowing of the seed. He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sows them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age. Can we say it together? The harvest is the end of the age. Let's keep that in mind, because this is critical thinking. And the reapers are the angels, and therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That phrase, whenever Jesus says that, we got to pay special attention. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus says it in the gospel 7 times. Book of Revelation also says the same thing 7 times. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And we'll probably come back to that. But let's focus on the fact that everything is moving towards climax. History is his story. It's what God had done in human history, through human history, and what he will get. It's moving from A to B. It comes into a definite plan. And everything climaxes at the end of the age, and that's called the harvest at the end of the age. And it's not just one harvest. When you read it carefully, there's a fantastic harvest of the souls, but also there is a great harvest of the tares, both of salvation and the judgment. So we as Christians keep both in our mind. Now, when I talk about bringing the harvest to the nations, I can choose so many different passages. Bible is just really full of it. And probably most people will go for Matthew 28. Go ye therefore into all the world and, you know, preach the gospel, baptize them, make disciples of all nations. And that is Jesus' last word. I want to look at it in a bit more prophetic way, because we're doing a vision statement. And I want us to turn to Revelation 7, 9 to 17. If you have a Bible, you can turn to that. And I'm going to give you 2 prophetic snapshots of the fulfillment of what Jesus just described at the end of the age, what will happen. And today we'll probably have just enough time we deal with just one. And the next week we'll cover the other one. And the Bible is so consistent. But if we can look at Revelation 7, this is right at the end of the age. And before verse 9, it's about the Jewish harvest. Now, last week we talked about, you know, the mystery of the Jews and Gentiles and our commitment to it. You remember that? If you haven't, yeah, I think it's a very important message is in there. The church right now is lacking so much in the grace of God because we have taken a stand that grieves the heart of God. Church has been kind of saying that, Father, don't worry about the firstborn son. He's not coming home. He's left the home and he's really rebellious. He's hardened heart. You know what? Consider him dead. He's finished. I'll replace him. And that grieves the Father. It doesn't release the grace. Haughtiness and the grace are diametrically opposite. And this is largely the heart attitude of the church. Father, the firstborn is dead. I'll replace him. And that doesn't bring any joy to the heart of God. It grieves God. And then what God does is that God is bringing the Jewish harvest before that. But I'm really focusing on the world. I talked about, you know, God's restoration of Israel in the last days and parallel restoration of the church. So let's look at, let's read together verse 9. Multitude coming in from great tribulation. Verse 9, okay, after these things, that after these things is after God has sealed 144,000 young Jewish people for Yeshua. After these things I looked and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying together, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered and saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger nor hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What an inspiring scripture and a prophecy. This is how this human history will end. Last night, I was up until about 1:30 looking for the picture that I can shoot up that can actually describe what it'll be like. And I wasn't happy with any of them on the internet. So I decided not to put any. And we're going to just ask the Holy Spirit to give us the picture and the vision of the countless people from all nations, people of all tribes, tongues, and languages, races, feel before the throne of God as far as I can see. And they're holding the palm branches, they're singing with a loud voice, and they're holy because they wash their robe white. This is the climax of human history. Everything is building towards this end. You know, God's not going to have a lonely throne with 24 elders and, four living creatures and a few other human beings around. It will be filled. Hallelujah. Can you see it? I pray that this vision grips you. This picture grips you because this is where we are going. Amen. Amen. Let's count. You know, I love this church. Because we are mixed. We're not very big, but, we mixed. We represent nations. Australia, in fact, I heard many years ago, Sydney is the second most metropolitan, multicultural city in the world after Israel. Because they've got Jews coming back from all over the world. But we are different. We actually come literally by our own volition to this land. And I think over 200 nations are all represented here. It's a small people in terms of population. It's a large land. But we also need a large heart. Because in Australia, here, we can actually have achieved, before Jesus returned, people of all nations worshiping before the throne of God, before the Lamb as one. Hallelujah. God has sent nations into this nation. So the potential is that we can actually become one in Christ and we can send people to all nations to reap the harvest of the nations as well. We are in a unique, unique, unique place. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, so many places are war. There's ethnic cleansing, ethnic war. America is mixed, but it's kind of it's like a melting pot. Australia is not quite melting pot because the country is young. People come from all over the world. And they, to a large degree, retain their national identity as people. So in a sense, it's very difficult for the country to unite. And there's only one way to unite. Truly unite in the heart, not under the flag. Just the flag. You know what? I'm a Korean by blood, by birth, but But I'm Australian. This is my land. I'll fight for this land. First of all, I'm a citizen of heaven. That's my priority number one. I don't care what country, nationality, kingdom of God takes precedence over every other kingdoms of the world. Amen. But even, you know, after the tribulation, you do not lose your identity. You do not lose the way you look. Everybody say, amen. I'm not sure whether I'm hearing amen here. Okay. Your resurrected body will still contain part and the seeds that God put in through your fathers and forefathers. But it will be beautified, resurrected. Sin will be blotted out, but you will be unique. And that is wonderful. So we celebrate the differences. We do. So, you know, where do you come from? You know, I'm a minority in this church, Korean, you know, Korea. You know, where do you come from? Singapore. You know, all this. We celebrate. We celebrate. God had given boundaries for the nations. And God had given special context for each person to grow up so that they become, you know, born again. And then the richness that God had inputted over the thousands of years in each generation and the nations and people groups that actually come out and blossom in Christ. Amen? Different nations, there are gifts, I find. I find that different nations have different gifts and also weaknesses as well. But we can be united in Christ. Hallelujah. And the strength can come out to cover the weaknesses as well. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, I was wondering, let's see how many are here. Because, you know, just look around the different color. You know, the fair, there's, you know, Catherine White has a white hair. And then the rest, you know, kind of darkish. And then some are like, you know, like, what do you call? Like a cooked fried noodle. And then some are straight, short. Some don't have much hair. Australian born, yeah? Australia, okay. Malaysia, yeah? Singapore, yeah? And Korea, yeah, Korea. South Korea. Just me and Mia and two other, yeah? Are you... Africa, which country was it? Sorry. Kenya. Wow. Woohoo. Kenya. Wonderful. Did I say Sri Lanka? Sri Lanka is now growing contingency. Hands up. Give it Sri Lanka. All right. Malta. Woohoo. One. South Africa is one. So Malta is great. It's the Middle East, right? China. Yeah, China. It's great. China. Wow. And what else? Tonga. And New Zealand. South Chile. Chile. Greece at the back. Give him a hand. Greece. And Colombia. Have I missed out any? UK. And United States of America. Lonely Joshua was born there, right? Joshua is born there. United States of America. Europe? You were born where? Yeah. Oh, you're born in Australia. Okay, Australia. Okay. Your bloodline goes back to Europe, right? Somewhere in Europe. Somewhere. Which? No, your parents, where are you from? Alexandria in Egypt. Wow. Thank you, Jesus, for Egyptians. I give you, you know, Book of Exodus as a gift. You have a lot of mention in the Bible, and it finishes well, praise God. Have we covered anybody else? Yeah. Cook Islands, that's right. Cook Islands. Cook Islands. That's it. Is that it? Isn't that amazing? Wow. And this is the point I want to make, because this is the vision that we got to also have. God is building up. God is not a God of anticlimax. Everything builds, despite the fact that in the West, you go to like different countries, China, you go to like, you know, India or Sri Lanka or something, Indonesia, revival's taking place, but we are dying. Australia is so dry. It's going to change. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Our time is coming.
Amen.
The best is yet to come. God has saved the last, the best for the last. Can you imagine the true unifying force when the Lamb of God is lifted? All nations, in Haggai it says, they find the Lord as the desirable nations. All nations will unite with one desire for the Lord. Every nation, every single nation will desire the Lord. The Lord is so beautiful. The beauty of the Lord is a weapon. More powerful than nuclear weapon. Every heart will instantly set aflame when they have a glimpse of the beauty and the glory of the Lord. And this picture, see, God is not God of anticlimax. Everything is going into climax. And, here is two questions. Two questions are asked by one of the 24 elders. And then he's saying, who are these ones? Who are they? And then the second question is, where are they coming from? And Apostle John, being very wise, said, sir, you know. I'm not going to say something wrong and get, you know. And then he provides answer for both questions. And he says, these are the people from all over, every tribe, tongue, color, language, people groups, nations, coming out. So these are the innumerable number of redeemed people from all over the nations of the earth. And I believe Australia is a unique place to literally have all nations. Hallelujah. I'm excited to be part of Australia. And he's answering the question, where are they coming out of? They are coming out of what? The Great Tribulation. In fact, when you look at the original text, Greek text, it's not the ones who come out. It's actually coming out. Very vivid. Apostle John is watching the whole throng of all nations just drawn like a magnet as Jesus is lifted up. They just get drawn, all nations, drawn out, and then just gathering around the throne of God. They, in the midst of the Great Tribulation. Great Tribulation, we're going to go out with a bang. Not whimper. Nations will be gathered. Great harvest is taking place. Amen. And they're singing. Not only are they just getting out, they are singing with a loud voice. And they are standing before the throne. And they are singing, the salvation belongs to our God. And then sevenfold praise of worship. Seven things that belong to God is given to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And they have made themselves white. When you dip into the red, you come out white. Have you been dipped in the blood of the Lamb? This is so important. Nations will dip into the red blood of the Lamb and come out white, walking victoriously and singing with palm branches, speaking of the victory. Hallelujah. So we will be I'm not talking about triumphalism, but there will be a countless. So I want you to actually change the paradigm. This is the straight Bible. Change the paradigm of whimpering, hiding somewhere with a grocery bag in a cave. Just maybe one or two get saved kind of picture that I've been given when I was young. The Bible is very clear. The great harvest is taking place right at the end, all the way to Jesus coming. Amen? You believe that? Now, in answering this question, there is another question that is posed in the last verse of the previous chapter, chapter 6, and that is unanswered. The question goes something like this. It says, whoa, great day of the wrath of God has come. Now, who is able to stand? And the kings and the nations are hiding under the rock. They're in fear. And it's almost like that question is unanswered. You look at the scripture. It says, who is able to stand? That's the question. And it's not answered. Until here in the next chapter, you know, almost expected answer is what? Who is able to stand? And the king's nations are hiding. Question, expected answer is no one. No one is able to, you know, is supposed to be able to stand on the great day of judgment and the wrath of God. But the answer is not one, not two, not three, not thousand, not million. Uncountable number of humanity from all shapes and colors and nations standing before the throne, worshiping with robes dipped in blood, white, with palm branches in great victory, walking in holiness, declaring the praises of God. Hallelujah. That's a good picture, isn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. So that's our vision. GI vision as well. You know, GI vision is this. What God will do, we want to see it. We want to see it here. You know, all nations are here. Let's see. Hallelujah. And let's also send out people to the nations. That's why I'm also, you know, different nations. You can go and bring in the harvest of the nations because salvation belongs to God. At this point, I'm going to pause. Let's all sing. How about that? Salvation belongs to our God. That word came straight out of this text, you know. So thank you, Sunny. Salvation belongs to our God. I was thinking this, we should sing this. Let's all stand. Let this be our anthem.
salvation belongs to our God.
Salvation belongs to our God.
Church, the world, history is moving towards that. And God's gonna do it. If you can see it, we'll be part of it. Amen? If you can see it clearly and commit to it, we'll be part of the reaping. And God will release special grace to enable us to do this. And then I want to talk about two things, but today I want to focus on one thing. What is God's great provision for the church to do this, to be part of it? At the end of the age, the nations are being reaped. And we'll be in the midst of it. God use me. Yeah? We can pray that. God, use me for this harvest. Everybody can be used. This is my prayer. This is my vision. When I was about 17, the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and showed me this vision of the people in the field as far as I can see. As far as I can see. And, you know, being young, this is the way God communicates, like Joseph. He showed me that I was in the, you know, speaking to these people. As far as the eye can see, people filled. And the power of God came down from the heaven like lightning. And they hit all over the field. And people were getting healed everywhere. And they're getting saved. All nations. This is the picture of the harvest. This is for the body of Christ. I thought that was all for just me. Now I understand. This is the vision that God wants to impart to you. Young people, older people, you know, men and women, slave, no slaves here, you know, poor people and rich people, all the same. Yeah. Sarah, have this vision. Amen. Let this vision take hold of your heart. Hallelujah. And allow God to flow through you. In fact, God will, part of the preparation, God will put that vision to death by putting you to death on the process. But the vision, true vision, is not going to die. It comes up again. It's something that God lays hold of you inside first. That's what you You're not trying to lay hold of something that you cook up. Amen. And the church, I believe, must have a clear vision of the end times. And then what is God's provision? We looked at it. Come on. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. How is God going to enable us, grace us, empower us to do this? It's by outpouring his spirit, pouring out his spirit. You know, Joel 2:28 says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. And also on my manservants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit on those days." No one's excluded if we say, yes, we are there. We're part of it. But remember, the reign of the Holy Spirit is for the harvest. It's not so that, you know, we can be super spiritual and, you know, have a big briefcase and have a lot of fun. It's for the harvest. It's for the harvest. Reign is for the harvest. And I preached this some years ago, but I'll quickly do this. Turn to Deuteronomy. Well, you don't have to turn. I'll got this one. Now, how God provides rain for the harvest. The principle is the same from Old Testament. I'm going to look at it prophetically. God's provision for the outpouring of the harvest has the seasons in it. And when God was taking Israel out from Egypt and then bringing them into the promised land, it was working in different rule. The law of the agriculture work differently. And this is the word that God spoke to Israel. And he says, "For the land which you go to possess," that's the promised land, land of Israel, "is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot and as vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season." The, everybody say, early rain and the latter rain. "That you may gather in your grain, your new wine and your oil." Remember, grain, wine, and oil in that order. When this is the way that it works in Israel. They gather the grain first, and then they gather the wine and then oil. And the principle is kept right throughout the scriptures. Okay, now this is Egypt. In Egypt, you know, this is Egypt where they have irrigation. This is called Delta, Nile Delta. And there is a, you know, meandering rivers everywhere. And you actually water. You don't need rain. That's why the all Israel, like story of Joseph, they all ran from Israel to Egypt because there's water, because they don't depend on the rain for their irrigation. They depend on the river, and they make the channels of river flow like this. It's a flat land, and they use the foot, break this wall, and they channel the water. By foot, they open and close the kind of a gates, and they irrigate, and they get the harvest like that. Which speaks of human effort, your effort, just the hard work, and no rain, no grace from heaven. But when you enter in to the land of promise, it's got hills, and so on. You can't do that anymore. You depend on God's faithfulness for the rain. And God says, "This is a beautiful land. This is my land. My eyes are on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. That your rain, your wealth, your well-being, your health, your crops, all depends on my faithfulness, which is contingent on your relationship with me. If you walk in obedience to my commandments and then put God first, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and so on, you serve the Lord, then I will make sure that I give you all the provision of the rain perfect. You don't have to depend on your food. It'll come and then it'll actually produce bumper crops." Amen? That's how it worked. It was contingent on the rain from heaven. So they had to depend. depend on God's faithfulness and walk in obedience. In fact, this is a law, spiritual law for salvation and Christian walk as well. Your success and my success as Christians depend not on my effort, relationship with the Lord, our obedience, and the grace of God. Amen? And God says, if you walk, if your life is right with me, I'm going to open up the heaven. I'm going to shower down. And then he talks about two different rains, early rain and the latter rain. In Israel, there are two major outpouring for the crops, and you call the former rain, called it's coming between October and November, it's widespread rain, not too heavy, to condition the soil so that the farmer can break up the ground and sow the seed. It's for the conditioning of the soil. And then you call it a latter rain. It's between March and April, around Passover time, you get a heavy downpour. And that's the one that causes the seed to germinate and the crops to grow to the full height, and you get the growth. It depends on two rains for a successful harvest. And God says, I'll see to it that I give you both as you need if you walk faithfully with me, which is the same in our walk as well. Amen. Hallelujah. And it is known often in Israel, I don't know how true scientifically it is, but you know, the latter rain is understood as it is seven times heavier than the former rain. Now, let's look at Joel. Joel is all about end time. There is a parallel in spiritual level in the season as well. This is, you know, what we just, passage that we read about God pouring out his spirit is after this. He says, afterwards. And the Lord is speaking to Israel. He says, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beast of the field, for the open pastures and spring up, and the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. This is after major devastation. It says, I'm going to restore you when you begin to turn to me and begin to repent and cry out, call solemn assembly, prayer meetings, and then repentance. Be glad, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. What is former rain, spiritually speaking, typologically speaking? It's the former rain of the Pentecost, when the church got started. What is the latter rain? It's the rain God will pour out to finish the job, harvest, at the end of the age. It's our time. And it's amazing. God had given them former rain faithfully. But what God is promising here is that he will cause rain to come down for you. Let's read together the blue bit. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The first month is the April, May, that the Jewish calendar. It is the time of the latter rain, but he's saying that instead of, spiritually speaking, instead of a usual former rain portion and the latter rain portion, God says in the first month, in the last month, in the time of latter rain, God will actually combine the former rain and the latter rain together and give you the whole lot. Give extra. Hallelujah. Do you believe this? Amen. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat. That's a grain harvest. And the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. Same. Again, see, what is grain harvest? Yeah, Mia said it. Mia is soul, right? What is the wine harvest? We'll cover that next week, but I'll tell you, it is the judgment of God. Revelation 14. You will find the vats will overflow, the wine in the color of blood. And what is the oil? It's joy, oil of joy. And it comes in that order. Now, parallelism. Okay, let's read these two. And I'll restore you the ears that the swarming locust has eaten. The crawling locust, consuming locust, the chewing locust, the great army. He says, my great army, which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Amen. Now, that clearly speaks of Israel. Now, let me speak a little bit typologically. Fig tree, often, Jesus talked about fig tree. Speaks of what? Israel. Jesus spoke about vine. Often, it's seen as the church. Now, promise of the former and latter, I've covered that already. It's the same pattern of grain, grape oil, and then there is a promise of God's restoration. If you feel my ears been eaten up by locust, this promise is for you. Now, I hit certain time. After I hit 40, I felt like, Lord, I wasted so much of my time. And I'm praying, Lord, help me. I want to get those years back. I want my whole life to burn. I don't want any compromise in my life. When I get before God, I want to say, Lord, I wasn't the best, but with all my heart, I pursued you and sought to obey you. That's what I want to be able to say. I tolerated nothing unclean before you. That's what I want to say. And I want to go to grave empty-handed, having done all your will. That's what I want to say. And I need restoration. We all need restoration. And God says, look, all the devastation, unthinkable devastation that wrecked your life, I'm going to fix it all up. I'm going to speed up the time. In fact, in one of the passages in the New Testament, it says, God will do a quick work on the earth. He can restore you. The years. Hallelujah. And there is one more thing. See, before Jesus returns, what did the last week, Peter's message, what is God going to do in the church and Israel, in the world? Restore all things. So my prayer is, Lord, restore all things, not just little things here and there. Not get trapped in my own emphasis. Lord, I want to see the big picture. I want the full restoration. I want to be part of it. Amen? And then he says, there is appointed weeks, see? And in Jeremiah 5:24, it's an interesting scripture. It says, let us fear the Lord our God, who gives rain, both the former and latter rain, in his season. He reserved for us the appointed weeks of harvest. I love that. God has appointed weeks of harvest. When the harvest time comes, it's a very quick one. You know, it's you wait, and nothing happened, and suddenly blade come, and then everything's ready. Within a few days, or weeks, or, you know, it's a short period of time, you have to immediately put on a sickle and work. Otherwise, the harvest is permanently lost. So all hands on deck. All hands on deck. We must work in the harvest. And God, I believe, from the prophetic scriptures, very clearly has reserved these windows of harvest in the very last, at the end of the age. And we are beginning to coming into it. Amen. We are in a time of opportunity like no other generation. We are living in a time of greatest opportunity for the gathering of the harvest. We are given a field. Every one of us have given a field whereby we will reap. Hallelujah. I just love to hear that Eddie and Sonia and Han went out with a sickle. We need rain. And we need sickle. What is a sickle? Somebody has to say something. It's a reaping time. Sickle is your word of testimony. But what makes our word powerful is the rain. God's going to give us rain. And with rain, not only God's going to give us success in reaping the harvest of the end of the age, but also God will restore our youth, our strength, all the things the enemy had eaten alive and chipped into. If we get our priority right, Lord, this is the climax. This is where your history is going. This is where the Redeemer is moving. I want to move with you. You succeed. You know, Jonathan Edwards, the great reformer and the revivalist, he said that every generation, the task of every church and every man and woman of God is to discover where the sovereign Redeemer moves and move with him. And that direction never changed. Never changed. It just, the coin didn't drop to a lot of people. Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. Lord blessed me. He's continuing to bless me. But I don't want to just get a puddle of blessing. I want it to be a river. Then I have to flow with the purpose of God. We must understand this purpose of God and burn with it. And begin to think about it, begin to dream about it. Do you have a dream of harvest? Yes. Eddie says, yes, I know you. Brother, I feel the kindred spirit. We are, you know what? Nobody should feel powerless because God will give us rain and empower you. This is why God gives you the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's why God gives you boldness. Seven spirits of God. Everybody say it again together with me. Rain is for the harvest. Rain is for the harvest. You know, Pentecostal movement, charismatic movement, a lot of movement, we thank God that God had moved so wonderfully, but not all the rain was really used for the purpose of harvest. When you get baptized in the Spirit, power of the Spirit, it's for the harvest. Amen? Amen. It's not so that we can get a pedestal and then tell everybody I'm more powerful than you. Or think it. Think it. That's got nothing to do with it. Now, our response is very important. Now, I'm going to close soon. Now, our response is, I want us to actually acknowledge this because harvest depends on rain. True? Harvest depends on rain. It's the Holy Spirit and it's the angels' partnership. We need outpouring of the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to get anything done. I think it's very important to come to this place of, okay, Jesus said, without me you can do what? Little bit? Nothing. I looked up the Greek word. You know what it means? It means nothing. Donut. No, not even donut. Nada. Zilch. Nada. Yeah. Nothing. We need to come to a place apart from the Holy Spirit. We can't get anything done. But God, that puts us in a place of patience and dependence. Okay? So, number one, harvest depends on the rain. Number two, rain is for the harvest. Number three, harvest synchronizes with the return of the Lord. You believe that? Harvest is the climax of the age. Hallelujah. And then James 5, 7 and 8. James says this. Now, let's read together. Therefore, be patient. Ooh, how many like that? I want patience now in Jesus' name. No, we can't do that. Patience. Brethren, until the coming of the Lord, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, the patient is not like sit back and sleep. Patient is an expectation. Expectation and prayer, and not get frustrated and give up. That's what it means. How long I have been praying for the rain and revival in Australia. Since I was youth, I can tell you, Mia and I, we were outside of the graveyard in the car, crying out for the revival in the land. And the car was all fogged up, and the policeman knocked on the door thinking that somebody's getting murdered or something. I saw the flashlight. I was just praying. Flashlight. And then I still didn't see it. Go. And then knock, 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 and go. As a policeman says, "What are you doing? Are you okay?" And I said, "We are okay. We are okay. We are praying." And he said, and then before he left, he came back. He said, to ask Mia, "Are you okay?" He thought I'm murdering this young lady. I haven't given up. I'm still praying for the harvest, for the rain, worldwide rain, the latter rain upon the church of God, that we will all go out and begin to reap the harvest. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The whole church getting mobilized. Hallelujah! And thank you. Thank you for going ahead of the rest faithfully. You know, that's not the end. James, okay, so it means patient means don't give up. Keep seeing this vision. Keep crying out to God because God is hearing your prayer. And then James finished the book with this. Where is it? Yeah. Now, verse 17, James, same chapter. Last, you know, few verses. Let's read together. He says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and then heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Saying, be patient. Don't give up. You know, that passage was written, as far as I know, first century. First century to now, it's a long time to, you know. And they had rain. First century had the former rain. The great move of God was happening, but he's still writing and saying, look, there is much more happening. You need to be patient. Don't give up. Don't give up. The rain is coming. The early rain and the latter rain, the former rain and the latter rain together in 1 month is coming. Don't give up. Keep praying. And then he says the final lesson is think about Elijah, what he did. He didn't just not give up. He prayed with his face between his legs and prayed. This is a fetal position, travailing prayer. It's like a giving birth. And he says, this man is like any one of us, nature like ours. And the point is he prayed and then drought broke. That's the lesson for the Christians. That's the lesson for you and me. Jesus said in Luke 18, will the Son of Man find faith on earth when he returns? Will the church keep crying out to God, God, we need rain. You promised the rain. Or is the church going to be, I prayed for last 3 months and I fasted 7 days and still the same, I give up. It's the same old, same old. That's faithlessness. This is God's vision and God is waiting for us to pray and believe. Believe and never give up. And the last one is, don't just pray. Tell. That's a sickle. When the rain comes, the crop is ready. Until you put the sickle and say something to them, nothing happens. Oh, okay. In the Middle East, they get saved by dreams and visions. Praise God. You didn't even touch them. No sickle involved. Just the angel does it. God will cover for it. But where we are, my mouth is holy. Your mouth is holy, and God can use you. You know, the most loving thing that you can do to your loved one is to tell them the gospel. Most heartless, horrible thing you can do to your loved one is just be silent, thinking about yourself and rejection. Oh, might offend the person. Offend that person to where? Hell number two? Is there hell number two? Hell number three? If you love someone, you'll tell them the gospel. That's how we love them. This is the ultimate love. See, sometimes you just touch them and then fruit drops. I was telling you, like, you know, in a Bible college, I was lecturing. So, but I need to get baptized. I believe in Jesus. Every day, everywhere. And sometimes your loved ones, just sometimes a little touch to, yes, we need wisdom. Sometimes we need to pray and back off as well. Don't go, you know, you're going to hell unless you do it my way. Don't do that. But pray and be persistent. Our word is a sickle, and it goes in hand with prayer. This is what Apostle Paul said. I'm going to close with this. Apostle Paul said this. I'm going to, say it again next week. But Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade them. Paul knew the terror of the Lord. To those who reject the gospel, he knows what will happen to them. Do you know hell is, do you believe hell is real? Heaven is real. Do you believe hell is eternal? Heaven is eternal. Jesus didn't entrust his revelation on hell to anybody. In fact, he's the one. Almost all the knowledge you know about hell comes directly from the mouth of Jesus. I think I had enough, yeah? Why don't we stand? Let's pray. We pray for wisdom, but we pray for the heart, yeah? We pray for the rain. We're going to sing Salvation Belongs to Our God just one more time. And then we're going to all pray. If we can. You know the Korean style? Everybody. They all say, Juyo, Juyo. It means Lord, Lord. Three times. You know, we don't have to do Juyo three times. Just everybody open your mouth and say something. God, if you just want to cry, God, touch me, use me. Let me be your sickle. I wait patiently and pray for the rain. I, you know, every member of my family, I want them saved. My family member all saved. My immediate family member. I was the first one to believe. Is yours. Every single family member that you love, are they saved? Are your friends saved? What are you doing? Sorry. Delete that. That's just, let's sing. Salvation belongs to our God. Can we raise the key? Is it possible? By capo, one, you know, whole step? Into A. Yeah, one whole step.
salvation belongs to our God. Let's declare it prophetically.
Salvation belongs to our God.
Your church will be mobilized, Father God. Lord, we pray, oh God, that you will break our heart for the soul in the name of Jesus, Father God. And Lord, that we will have positive faith, voice, faith, oh God, that move us, oh God, to do something about the harvest, Father God, to pray, to believe, to go, to send, to give, oh God, to do something in the name of Jesus, to believe, oh God. Father God, we pray, empower us, oh God. Lord, lay hold of us, oh God. Let your gifts of the Spirit, oh God, be poured out upon every person. Lord, every person, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus. GI be a fiery messenger of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, that we will snatch perishing souls from hell in the name of Jesus. Equip us, oh God, with compassion. Father God, we pray that you give us, oh God, glimpse of the fear of the Lord, the terror of the Lord, the terror of the Lord, the terror of the Lord. Lord God, heaven, Lord God. Lord God, let heaven be populated. Lord, let hell, oh God, be emptied out, Father God. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Use everyone. Father God, use us. Use us. Lift up our hands everywhere. Say, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Lord, your spirit move. Move upon your people. In the name of Jesus, every year that the locust has eaten, Father God, restore to us the youth, the zeal, the fire, purpose, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Salvation belongs to our God. Salvation belongs to our God. Salvation belongs to our God. Amen. 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 Somebody shout, salvation belongs to our God. Hallelujah. 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 I pray in the name of Jesus that the Lord will put fire into your mouth, fire into your hands in the name of Jesus. That you will speak and the word of God will go out like an arrow. And then it will just cut across the hearts, the need for salvation. I pray that God will use you gloriously, everyone, for His glorious future and purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a final hallelujah. Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. I give it to her. Yeah. Let it rain. All right. Let's go. You just sing it. Yeah. Let it rain.
Open the flood. Father, this is a cry of our hearts, Lord. Let it rain, Lord. Father, let it rain, Lord, on this parched land. Father, we pray that, Lord, we will be useful tools for you, Lord. Not a hindrance, but, Father, a tool that can be used, Lord, to bring in your harvest, Lord, so that Jesus may return. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.